Welcome to Chosen Voices, a podcast created by Chosen Vessels, Inc., seeking to encourage, equip, and empower leaders around the globe. I'm your host, Becca Baxter, here with my co-host, Autumn Bedingfield, here to talk all about burnout today. Here's Autumn and I's conversation about burnout on the mission field.
Hey, Becca.
Hey, Autumn.
All right, Becca, I'm ready to talk with you about burnout.
Oh, yes. One of my favorite topics and most talked about topics in my entire life and work. So sounds great.
Becca's just in a perpetual state of burnout. So she's ready to talk about this today. I'm just kidding.
I have gone through burnout and I also talk to people every single day that are struggling with different stages of burnout. So
so you're qualified. And I think most people are a little bit qualified because burnout is something that we all experience for lots of different things in our life. So everyone listening probably has something that they can relate to, a situation that they recognize as being burned out on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think anyone who's ever worked a job and anyone who's ever been on a mission trip or been on mission, especially long-term missionaries around the globe, this is something that's really hard to talk about because it feels like it's not something that should be happening when you're fully invested in your ministry or even your job sometimes. I know for me, I love my job, but sometimes I really do get burned out and I start living for the weekend. And that doesn't mean that I don't love my job, but it's hard to recognize that in my own head when I think about why maybe I'm experiencing burnout symptoms.
Absolutely. And I feel like there is a guilt stigma around burnout too, that people feel like they should feel ashamed or just feel that sense of guilt for feeling burned out. Especially I've seen it in cross-cultural servants or missionaries, whatever term you want to use, feeling like when they're on the field that the Lord should be sustaining them, that the Holy Spirit should be doing X, Y, and Z, that ministry and mission should feel awesome all the time. And that is just not the case. And so there is a shelter of shame that kind of comes over this topic. And so I wanted to bring that up just so we can cross that off the list, because there is no shame about experiencing burnout. It is just a practical reality and something we have to fight to move forward in joy and excitement for our work.
So before we get into our conversation today, Becca, why don't you hit us with some hard, cold facts about burnout. What are some of the statistics surrounding the topic?
Well, it's estimated that on average, 1,500 pastors leave ministry every single month because of spiritual burnout in their churches. And that is a lot of pastors when you think about it every single month. You also have statistics like 80% of pastors feel unqualified and discouraged in their role as a pastor, and 84% of their spouses feel unqualified as a spouse to a pastor. And so when you have these sweeping statistics of large numbers of people feeling discouraged in ministry, I think it is a warning sign to us that, hey, this is something that leaders in ministry are experiencing at rapid rates. They are discouraged in their work rather than being excited by their work or being empowered in their work. They are mostly discouraged in their work.
That is crazy. 1,500 a month. Yikes. And for those of y'all listening, who are maybe who've never experienced cross-cultural ministry or a full-time pastoral role, you just got to think about it. Think about your job that you do on a daily basis, and then imagine that you were on call for all those people all the time, 24/7. It really can weigh on someone, and you can't turn yourself off because you part of your role is to be available. So if you're having a hard time grasping that number, just try to view it from that angle of a full-time employee who is also on call 24/7 for their team or their people group.
Absolutely. That's a great way of looking at it. And we'll talk a little bit later on about boundaries and Sabbath and those types of things. But primarily when you ask my personal experience in asking people that are burned out, how often are you resting? How often are you taking a Sabbath? How often are you turning off your phone? very little to none are doing that. And so accessibility is a huge factor in burnout, as, and I would argue to say that in this season where people are beginning to use technology and Zoom for meetings, there is this idea that our pastors, our spiritual directors, nonprofit workers, they should be accessible all the time, even more so than we thought before, because they think, oh, well, I'll just set up a Zoom meeting for that. And so there is some level of this accessibility creating a false view of spiritual workers that, hey, they're supposed to be ready and available for me at all times. And often pastors or leaders in ministry feel like they can't set those boundaries or can't take time for rest because they feel guilty. And so those things all work together to facilitate a breeding ground for burnout.
Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about burnout, Becca, what are we talking about? Like, what is your definition that we're bouncing off of for our conversation today? What does burnout entail and what does it look like?
So when we talk about burnout, we are not just talking about, hey, I've had a really long week and I could use a day off, or I'm kind of tired, I could take a long nap. When we talk about burnout, we are talking about a point of fatigue that is not just physical, but it's also an emotional weariness and often is followed by a lack of desire to continue on in work, feelings of hopelessness, difficulty concentrating, talking about not being satisfied in your job anymore, feeling disillusioned about your job. It's a next step fatigue around your entire work, ministry, life, relational life. It's not just, hey, I could really use a weekend off and a nap, or it's a deep weariness found in different facets of who we are.
Yeah, that's a great definition for it. I mean, I like the distinction too. No matter who you are and what you're working through, whether you're a student or an employee or a missionary, you are going to need rest in your job. And we talked with Brooke Carita about emotional well-being and how to rest and take care of yourself. But this is something a little more intense, something that really makes it difficult for people, especially in service industries where they're trying to take care of a lot of people. If you're feeling burned out on your position or your job, it's really difficult to do what you need to do well. And I just know in my, just from this year, I'm a teacher and that's my full-time job. And when I start feeling burned out, it's just so hard to get up in the morning. So hard to go into work, so hard to get things done and be productive. And most of the time for those reasons you were talking about for those pastors, Becca, is just feeling unappreciated, feeling like you're not making a difference. So there's a lot of reasons people start to feel burned out. So what are some ways that you can tell if you are in a phase in your life or a season of burnout in your job?
So we actually at CV, we have questions that we ask most of our leaders. If we start to see some warning signs of negative self-talk in some of our member care sessions or expressing how tired they are often, not just at the end of a long week, but on a daily basis. And those questions that we ask are, have you become critical of your own work more than normal? Do you drag yourself to work and have trouble getting started on a project? Are you looking for the next opportunity to go home? Are you impatient with your coworkers or your clients or your family? Do you feel like you're lacking sustainable energy to be productive on a regular basis? Is it hard to concentrate? Are you satisfied in your work? We do ask questions about, are you using food, drugs, or alcohol to numb things out? What are your feelings around that? You know, there's different things that can serve as warning signs. But I think it all starts with a perpetual, I'm tired. And no matter how often you take time to watch Netflix or how often you take a nap or go to bed early or sleep in late, there's a perpetual spiritual weariness. And so those are some of the questions that we ask.
That's really good. Yeah. And I think just being able to recognize that too. And like you said, it's not just one day where you feel like a nap. It's you just, no matter if you're getting 8 hours of sleep a night or two, you feel the same way in the morning when you're getting up to go to your job. And I think our society really pushes productivity, but also there's this saying, and I'm sure you've heard it, Becca. I don't know if our leaders across the globe have heard it, but here in the US, there's a saying that says, find a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life. And I feel like that idea kind of, you know, feeds into this guilt of burnout, this idea that it's not okay if you're not loving every single aspect of your job, or if your job is taking a toll on you. It's just, there's something wrong with you if you can't figure out how to love the workplace that you're in or the field that you're serving in. So I know a lot of times in our head, we build up this idea that it's not okay to feel burned out. And I'm sure for our leaders across the globe, they do not feel like it's okay to be burned out, even though their role requires so much out of them. And it would be so easy to see why they could get burned out. And so I just really want to encourage people to look at those signs. Figure out if you are feeling burned out so that you can care for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and outside those questions, if you're kind of thinking through those, but also recognizing, am I stressed? Am I depressed? Am I sleeping well? Am I spending time with the Lord outside of preparing for my ministry roles? Am I isolating from other people? Those are also really good questions to ask yourself, and ones that I actually try to ask myself about once a week, just kind of as a checkup. And so it's not just when you're feeling burned out that you should be asking yourself these questions, but even when you're feeling your healthiest, to kind of start to take inventory, like Brooke was saying, kind of checking in with ourselves. She talked briefly about that, but just kind of taking inventory of what am I feeling? How am I responding to other people? And just start to notice how we feel. And so that when burnout symptoms start to come, they're easily recognizable and you can get a jump start on trying to remedy that. Because one analogy that I often use when talking about burnout, which you kind of mentioned this too, Autumn, but I talk about taking care of a car. So when you drive a car, obviously you're going to run out of gas at some point. You have to put gas back in the car. And that is kind of seen as like short-term energy. You just pull up to the pump and you put gas in the car. When we're talking about burnout, we're talking about if I drove a car for 10 years and I never got my oil changed, it would not make it. There is certain maintenance that we have to do if we're to not burn up all the oil in our engines. Long-term maintenance of our cars, getting new tires, those types of things to maintain the whole being of their car rather than just an instantaneous fill up of gas like taking a nap or going out to eat with friends. We have to put in that long-term work to maintain, to keep going for the long haul.
That is one thing that I've seen with so many cross-cultural leaders and servants and missionaries on the field is that they are so, so incredibly good at caring for other people. And I mean, we've talked about it with a few of the Chosen Vessels leaders is what boundaries are you putting up for yourself? How are you caring for yourself? And it's really easy to get burned out when you're not doing those things that you need to care for your own vehicle to get you from point A to point B. Yes, that's a really good analogy.
And I think we have to figure out, too, what are the things that do fill our tank? So what are the things that we can get a burst of energy by doing? You know, I'm going to pull up to a drive-thru and get 4 shots of espresso over ice, and that's a quick jolt, but not necessarily going to keep me going throughout the week for my emotional stamina of different meetings. And so figuring out what are these great little bits of joy, but also I Sabbath on Fridays. And so that's a rhythm that's set in place to keep filling the tank long term. And so noticing those things of what fills my tank, what is draining for my heart, what gives me more emotional capacity, what expels emotional capacity, starting to learn ourselves and learn what really dries up everything we have and what really gives life and joy in what we're doing.
But I'm glad we're following this up after talking with Brooke about emotional and spiritual health and that idea of taking inventory, but like, no, like seriously sit down and write out what you think helps you. And it's going to be deeply personal to every single person. And you could read as many Google articles about what burnout is and how to see it in your own life. But until you sit down and analyze your own life and your context, because me being a teacher in the United States, my burnout is going to look different. And the things that burn me out are going to look different than Becca, who's working with Chosen Vessels full time and from Casey Bloom in Romania, who is on the mission field and working with those children and doing social work all the time, to Pastor Harrison in Ghana, who is leading Bible Club. Each of our experiences with burnout is going to look deeply personal and different from one another. So we have to sit down. We have to take account of, okay, today this made me feel energized. This made me feel really tired. Talking with this coworker was really difficult and took a lot of energy out of me. Talking with this person really filled me up today. And until we sit down and analyze that and write that out for ourselves, we are not going to get to see the effects of burnout in our personal lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I can't recall which burnout book this is, but I will actually put it in the show notes when I go look it up. But the author writes about each of us having our own different amounts of energy. Like, you and I might have very different amounts of bursts of energy that happen throughout the day. And he talks about how for 2 weeks he recorded every time during the day when he felt a little burst of energy. And he found out that on average, he only has like 6 or 7 bursts of energy. And so for him, he realized that he was using up all his energy before he got home with his family. And so when, by the time he got home, he had no more energy left to play with his boys or to give full emotional attention to his wife after spending all day serving. And so I've actually started doing that too, just recently, trying to keep up with when do I feel energy throughout the day and kind of building your boundaries around that, because yours and mine might look completely different because of different work schedules, different job schedules, and also just being physiologically different. And so taking real account of when do I feel energy, like you were saying, and when do I not, would really, I think, lend itself to setting effective boundaries for each of us.
I think the idea of caring for yourself in a season of burnout is not to protect your workspace, but to protect your whole entire life. Like you're, like in that book, he was saying, I want to take account of this so I don't waste my energy before I get home. And I don't mm-hmm. want to waste this energy with this, this, and this before I can spend time with my children or my brother or my best friend or my mom and dad. So when we talk about caring for burnout, it's not to care for your workspace. It's to care for your entire being so that you have your energy. And I hope this encourages people who struggle to, you know, struggle to see that burnout and take accountability of it.
Absolutely. I think it comes down to, like you're talking, stewardship. And we've been given our bodies, we've been given energy, we've been given calls and good work that God has called us to. And so we have to learn to be good stewards of ourselves and of our time. We each have 24 hours in the day. And so we want to be good stewards of not just ourselves and our mental capacity and our knowledge, but also our time and our energy and our bodies. And so really taking account in all those different areas, it helps us to be better stewards. That brings glory to the Lord and also allows us to run after the things He calls us to in fullness for a long time. And that's what we want. We want to be sustainably in this life of discipleship until the end. You want to run the race well. And so we have to take account of these things and steward ourselves to get there.
Yep. And it's for His glory. So to take account of your burnout and your feelings on that, it's not for you. And I feel like that's what the guilt is associated with. It's, man, like, I'm so selfish. I just, like, I'm focusing more on me and not, like, the people I'm serving. So I want to help encourage people to not view this as, this is all about you feeling better. Because it's all about mm-hmm. you connecting with the Lord better and Him using you as a vessel in the most glorifying way that He has designed you to be used for.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So what are some steps? Okay, so say like I'm feeling burned out. I've taken my inventory. I've taken accountability of it. I've tracked it. I've watched my progress. Like, once I declare, like, yes, man, this is the emotion that I'm feeling. I am feeling burned out. What would you tell someone in one of your trainings or when you're counseling a leader? What are the next steps for getting out of that phase? Because burnout is not a place that anyone wants to stay. especially not anyone who really loves their job and hates that they're feeling that way towards the people they serve.
I think that depends on where you are in the burnout process, because there are different levels of burnout, I would say. The beginning parts of burnout where, okay, I'm in some unhealthy rhythms, I'm feeling kind of fatigued, kind of weary, but, you know, it's kind of just with me. My relationships are still going okay. My work is still productive. I'm still sleeping okay. There's kind of like early stages of burnout. On the opposite end of the spectrum is, hey, I am physically ill. A lot of people report actually having physical illnesses come out of seasons of burnout. And so I have been running on empty for so long, there is nothing left. My relationships around me and my family and those that I serve are destroyed. I am physically ill. That is one end of the spectrum. And then in the middle, you have different levels as well. It's really a full spectrum of where people are. And so I would say for people first beginning to start experiencing burnout or feeling or recognizing burnout, like we're talking about, you have to learn to steward your energy. So learning how to rest well and to implement rhythms of rest, recharging daily, weekly, and then the other one is to say quarterly. And so starting in the morning, time with the Lord, because he has great faithfulness for us every day. And then Sabbathing every week. And this is a discipline and is something that I am learning. So I am not speaking from a high place, like down on people when I say you need to Sabbath. I'm coming from a very humble place of saying, this is something that I am learning and it is changing my life drastically when I take time to truly Sabbath and do no work at all on one day a week.
Yeah.
And then quarterly, when we talk about those are like taking a vacation with your family or taking an extended time off, usually 1 to 2 weeks of truly no work. And either way, I think those are rhythms anyone on the spectrum should be implementing. Anyone at all should be implementing those rhythms of rest because they're mandated by God in scripture. When you see more severe cases of burnout, there are a lot of questions that you need to ask of, do I need to take a sabbatical and a serious time off to work through some emotional things? Do I need to turn completely from what I'm doing? So people say you should either add something that's life-giving to your life, cut off something that is not life-giving to your ministry, or completely walk away from that scenario for a brief or finite time. Those are kind of more extreme cases of when you're trying to decide, do I stay in ministry? Do I stay in this role? Or do I need to take time and let the Lord come and restore what the locusts have eaten?
And I know a chosen vessel is a huge component of our leader care, is that when we are on a trip, I know, Becky, you like to designate time on that trip where we just care for the leaders, where we just pull them aside and say, don't worry about anything. We've got it. We're going to plan for you. We're going to take care of you and we're going to serve you tonight. And that, I just think that's just a side note, amazing part of the ministry that Chosen Vessels does. And it's a really cool way to care for leaders. So if you're listening to this and you're wondering how to care for someone in your life that may be in this season or in a ministry position, that's a great way to serve them, is to just pull them aside and focus on them and help them be served for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think fun and laughter are two of the greatest components of rest and bring such joy and rest to the spirit that are necessary. And so like you're saying, we do set aside time for fun meals or game nights, and people might think that that's silly you come into a room with a bunch of pastors and spiritual leaders, people that are willing to go to the ends of the earth for the sake of the gospel. And you say, we're going to play heads up tonight. And it sounds so trivial, but it's actually so, so special. And most of the time we invite their families to come too. In October, I was on a trip and we had a bunch of leaders with us and we invited their families to come and we had a meal together. And then I was sitting with one of the leaders and she said, Becca, this is the first time that I've had family time in 6 weeks. And I was so taken aback that they had not had the time, or maybe not made the time, but also not had the time of just joining together for a joyful celebration of what God is doing And so those moments are really important to celebrate and have fun and joy together, because teams that do rest well together and rest well with their families are more successful as teams, regardless of whether that's in ministry or not. People, there's lots of statistics that I don't have in front of me, but that, you know, teams or coworkers that hang out outside of work in fun, relaxing ways that are not work driven are actually more successful in their work and ministry than they are if people do not communicate well or engage outside of work. So,
That's awesome. Yeah, and you got to look at it like the Bible clearly states that it goes from your family unit to the rest of the world. So you got to care for that family unit, and you got to care for the unity of a family and bringing people together and just really making them feel like they are connected. And I've noticed when my family life is more cohesive, my ministry flows more naturally, because when I come home, that is energizing. And so you want to create spaces where when you're done with your mission field for the day, you're going to a cohesive, energizing, relaxing environment that is filling you up to the brim with energy. And if you spend all of that during your day, then what are you bringing home to the other people? Because you are bringing it to other people too. So it's just really cool. I really love that part of mission trips with Chosen Vessels. Is we always are really intentional to sit down and we try to plan out a really fun night for the leaders, usually tailored around them and their likes and their dislikes and their interests and things that would be fun for them. So like you're talking about a family meal with maybe leaders who have family units, and maybe if we're doing a trip with some single leaders, doing like a fun game night with a lot of the teenagers. It's just really, again, that goes back to it's personal. It's deeply personal to everyone how burnout is affecting them.
Absolutely. Sure. So the reality of ministry is that a lot of times people are in situations where they are experiencing secondary trauma, which means, so this is often found in aid workers, pastors, medical professionals, they are serving groups and individuals that are experiencing something that they may not have ever experienced before or that they have experienced. And so this emotional strain of exposure, working with people that are deeply suffering, it actually has physical effects on us too. So we were talking about fun and the need for joy and excitement. It's because even if you are not experiencing trauma personally in your work, many times you're being exposed to other people's trauma. And so there is this cumulative level of trauma that you are consuming as you work with those that are suffering. And that's called compassion fatigue. And so after time, when you're told the same story over and over again with such intensity, we often begin to struggle with empathy because we are struggling with our own trauma now experience from that. So eventually with this, we often lose the spark of optimism and humor and hope. There's a tiring, you're just not yourself. And so this is kind of a branch of burnout, or even could be seen as a gateway to burnout sometimes. And so that is why we find excitement and joy and humor and togetherness to be such an important prevention plan for burnout, because the things that people, cross-cultural leaders, humanitarian aid workers, the medical professionals, you in your work, we are all experiencing other people's stories. And when you're in situations of experiencing extreme stories of suffering over and over again, it begins to wear on you. And so the first time, if you're exposed to this suffering, so for example, I'll tell a personal story. When I first went to Ghana, we went to a village, a very low economic status. And it was the first time I was really exposed to poverty in that type of way, and suffering and hunger in that type of way. And so my first response was an empathetic response. And so you begin to try to, you experience that for the first time. And so you have concern and you create this response. Well, over the last 10, 11 years, I have been in situations where I have been exposed over and over again to hunger, to suffering, to that type of poverty, that it doesn't have the same effect that it did the first time. There's still culture shock. There's still all types of other things, but I really have to hold myself accountable to that empathy to remember that it should be just as shocking the 100th time as it was the first time. So, but we get this residual compassion stress. I have to really, really work at being sure that I am empathetic and listen every single time because their story may be different than the one before. So I can't go into auto drive. I can't be fatigued out and just go into autopilot of just giving a response. You really have to seek to continue to be empathetic. But I have no capacity to do that unless I have taken time to care for myself, to rest well, and to step away. And so once we do that, when you see that Sabbath and rest get interjected into that, we can then begin to show compassion and empathy again and again and again if we take time to step away, rest, and recover.
Yeah, that's really true. And I think if you recall back to our episode with Brooke, one thing that she talked about was having people in your life that know you well enough and that people you feel trusted, that are trustworthy enough and really know your heart and know who you are as like friends and accountability partners and family who know you and can point it out when you might be in that zone of just on autopilot. It's important to have accountability and to invite people into that workspace and to be in communication with, because I know Becca sharing her example of seeing poverty a lot. Well, the kids that I work with on a daily basis, a lot of them come in to my school and they have a lot of severe problems, a lot of poor home lives. And I hear a lot of stories every day. And when I tell people about my job, they always say, "Aren't you so sad every day when you go to work?" And at the beginning of the school year, I remember thinking, yeah, I'm sad a lot. And then at the end of the school year, I kind of shifted in my mind after seeing all these kids on a daily basis. I started shifting a little bit and I was a little bit more like, well, if you knew them, like you wouldn't feel so sad for them. And then people caught it for me and they were like, well, don't you think you should empathize with them on a daily basis? And, you know, that kind of caught me off guard. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, just because I see it every day, it doesn't mean that it should become normal to me. It doesn't mean that I shouldn't have that same response of what can I do to help? Because I started shifting from this is really sad. I have to give this my all to help these kids to these are just these kids and this is just my job. And like, I mean, if you knew them, you wouldn't be so sad because they're pretty mean sometimes. And so you got to have people speaking into your life to catch those things sometimes. Sometimes it's so internal, you're not going to find that on your own. So part of this emotional health and catching your burnout is having people that you are keeping you accountable on a daily basis. And that's part of your daily practice is, and maybe it's not a sit down accountability partner discussion, but maybe it's just a conversation with a friend, a daily, just honest conversation with maybe a husband or a parent, just someone that you are talking with and you are being open with. So if you're someone on the mission field or in a workplace and you don't feel like you have a person that you can communicate with that, like, and someone who's going to be honest with you, because I know I could call Becca up and I could be really honest about something and I trust her enough to speak into it and to say, hey, why don't you take a step back and reevaluate this situation? And I'm going to listen to that because I respect her opinion and she knows me. So really, if you're in that situation in that mission field, think about who your people are that are holding you accountable and know your heart well enough to help you notice if you're really experiencing compassion fatigue.
And I would also say with burnout too, if anything we've said or any of the questions that we asked in the beginning, they started resonating in your heart and you thought, oof, yep. Okay, that one too.
Yikes. Yep.
I would encourage you to reach out to somebody, find someone to talk to. If you don't have someone, you can send me an email because you need to tell somebody because you want to do what you're doing for a long time. You want to be in sustainable rhythms. We want to be healthy. We want to be experiencing, like Brooke said, the fullness and wholeness that God has for us. And so if you are beginning to experience burnout or you think, oof, I am so far along in this burnout process, reach out to somebody, find someone to talk to. Know that what you're experiencing is not, it's not just you. There are so many people having the exact same feelings that you are, and you are not alone. It is totally normal to begin to feel some type of burnout at some point in life. So find someone to talk to, understand that you're not alone, and then begin to learn to rest well. I think those are three major places to start. And I'm sure Autumn will talk about burnout probably pretty often on the pod, just as it's a really common challenge for cross-cultural ministers and leaders and something we want to walk with you guys into. I would also like to kind of knock down a stigma of, hey, I'm burning out. Oh, I should just pray more. And if I'm not seeing a response, like if burnout's not getting better, then I'm not praying hard enough or I'm not serving the Lord well enough. And that is just not true either. Yes, you want to have healthy rhythms with the Lord. We want to be walking in fullness with Him. But sometimes there are practical steps that we need to take to be able to combat burnout too with the Lord, inviting the Lord into those practical things like setting boundaries, resting, physical health, exercise, those types of things. And so kind of knocking that down of, oh, there must be something wrong with me if my prayers aren't working or X, Y, and Z isn't working. That's just not true. So yes, we want healthy rhythms of the Lord, of prayer and time in the Word and time with Him. But there are also practical things that we can, not that those aren't practical, but there are other practical steps that we can invite the Lord into to combat burnout.
Yeah, and I think no matter who you are, I think just remember that even in the Bible, even Jesus had to pull away sometimes. You can see him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is going and he's off on his own. And he told his disciples and apostles, I'm going to go off on my own for a little bit. Okay, so I need to do that for me. So if Jesus has to pull away sometimes, our perfect creator Jesus, if he has to pull away sometimes, I think it's okay for us to accept that we're going to need to pull away in our own lives too.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me today, Autumn. I think that you are such a gift to me and now you're a gift to others and sharing about your own personal experience. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, and if you need anything, reach out to Becca. There's no one better to talk with. She will be honest with you, but she's also kind and loving, and she's going to help you through it or find you someone that will help you through it. So do not be afraid to go to the Chosen Vessels website, to email Becca, to reach out to me if you need to. Just don't be afraid to talk to someone. If you need it, reach out to someone. That's how you care for yourself.
Absolutely. So thanks for joining us today on Chosen Voices. We hope that you love the show. Be sure to rate and review. It really helps us. If you have any questions or you want to reach out, feel free to do so at chosen.vessels.inc@gmail.com or find us online at chosenvesselsonline.org.